I have a scripture that I want you to read with me, if you will. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, Jeremiah 9, 23. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this scripture ought to be marked in every person's Bible. And we ought to read it frequently, over and over. And it'll speak to us. I'm going to preach to you today on this subject, glorying only in the Lord. Glorying only in the Lord. And I have something for us. I know that God has given me a word for our day, and for you personally, and for me. Now listen to the scripture, Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. He's not saying there aren't any wise men. He's saying, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And neither let the mighty man glory in his might, in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now these two verses are sandwiched between two phrases, thus saith the Lord, and saith the Lord. Pretty important, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong, the mighty, glory in their might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, for in these things, not in human wisdom, not in human power and strength, not in human riches, in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. In righteousness and in loving kindness and in judgment, justice. All right, there's an irresistible urge in every person to glory in something. Now, that's true of everybody. There's none of you. None of you. I don't care who you are. The rich and the poor, the old and the young, male and female, the learned and the unlearned, the free and the enslaved, the low and the high. There's an urge. There's a tendency. There's an irresistible urge in every human being to glory in something. Someone said men will glory. They will glory. They'll glory in their place, proud of their standing or their position. They'll glory in their face, their beauty, their strength. They'll glory in their race. They'll glory even in grace. But man's going to glory in something. Now, what do we mean by glorying? That's important there. If the Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the strong man glory in his strength, nor the rich man glory in his riches. What do we mean by glorying? What do you think we mean? Well, here's what it means. It means this. It's to honor. It means to honor and exalt a thing or a person. It is to rejoice in something and take great pride in it. And it is even to worship that person or thing and give it the place, here's the key, of preeminence in our lives. That's what it means to glory in something. Now, when you take wisdom and riches and possessions and place or face or race or even religion, grace, and a person glories in a thing or glories in a person, he's honoring that thing. He's exalting it. He's giving it preeminence. He's giving it first place. He's taking great pride in it. Now, many men, now listen to this, and this is a lesson to us. Many men in the scriptures have gloried in vain things and had those things turn out to be their destroyer. Did you know that? They're in the scriptures. I can show you many examples of people who have gloried in things. Not the Lord, but gloried in things, and had these things destroy them, turn out to be great grief. For example, Hezekiah took the ambassadors of Babylon from treasure house to treasure house. He was a wealthy king. He had a fabulous kingdom. He had treasure houses and diamonds and gold and silver and precious stones and all these things. And the visitors from Babylon came over, and he's proud of his kingdom. And he took them around from treasure house to treasure house, bragging, boasting of his riches. Well, that displeased the Lord. And these very men to whom he boasted came back and carried away all his beautiful treasures. He lost all of them. He was so proud, so boastful. And these very men that he took and showed his treasure houses came and emptied them. And then Herod made a great speech one day, a great oration. And he allowed the people to praise him. Oh, it was a great speech. And the people began to say, it's not the voice of a man, it's the voice of a God. Well, boy, did that make him happy. Did that please him? And he didn't correct them. He allowed people to brag on his great speech and his great powers of persuasion, and they called his voice the voice of a God. Well, God proved his humanity. God filled his whole body with worms, and he was eaten of worms and destroyed. The proud flesh that exalted itself above God, God proved his humanity, and he was died a shameful, horrible death, rotten death. God proved he was a man. All right, take Eve. Adam and Eve had a son, the first son born to them. And if you'll read some of the better translations, you'll find when Eve got that boy in her arm, that first son, Cain was his name. And when she gave birth to that first son, and evidently Adam laid that son in her arm, she said this, I've gotten a man. I've gotten a man. And the translations say from the Lord. But do you know what she said? I've gotten a man, the Lord. The Lord. Now then, God had promised a Redeemer. He'd promised that the Redeemer would come through woman. And Eve thought she held him in her arms. She thought this was the Redeemer. She'd given birth to the Redeemer, the one who was deceived, the one who led Adam into sin, the one whom Satan tried and tempted. She thought she'd given birth to the Deliverer. And she called that son of hers the Lord. Well, he proved to be the first murderer. He broke his mama's heart, killed his brother. And then Jacob gloried in the coat of many colors. He gave it to his favorite son. Well, they brought him that coat back, shredded, torn to pieces, and covered with blood. David, the mighty king of Israel. God told David, now David, I know how many people I got, and I don't need you to number them. Well, David had climbed to the heights of his splendid kingdom, and he got proud of his armies and proud of his kingdom, and even though God told him not to number them, he numbered Israel. He had to know how many swordsmen and how many spearmen and how many of the cavalry and how many of these different ones he had. And so he numbered them. And his general told him, you shouldn't have done that. And God came to him and told him he shouldn't have done it too. And the Lord killed 70,000 of his choice men because he numbered Israel. Pride. We want to glory in something, don't we? Eve gloried in that son, and Hezekiah gloried in his riches, and David gloried in his strength, and Herod gloried in his voice. And what about Peter? Our Lord was going to the cross, and he told his disciples, he said, all of you will be offended because of me this night. Peter rose up and threw back his shoulders and threw out his chest, and he said, not me. Now, these other fellows may desert you, Lord, but not me. These other fellows may deny you, but not me. Why, Lord, he said, I'll lay down my life for you. You know, my friends, he was the only one who verbally, now the rest of them deserted, but he was the only one who verbally denied his Lord. He was the only one who said, I know not the man. Now, you think about that. The rich young ruler gloried in his righteousness and died an unbeliever. The rich young man gloried in his wealth and died in spiritual poverty. We better be careful. God said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his strength, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. That very thing in which you glory may just turn out to be your greatest grief. It may turn out to be your destroyer. You make a god out of that little lump of clay you're holding in your arms, and it may turn out to be your destroyer. It may bring gray hair to your head and a broken heart and tears to your eyes, because God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory. This is vain glory. This is vain glory. These are examples of vain glory and examples of people reaping the dividends of vain glory. Christ said, "He that loveth father, mother, brother, sister, husband, and wife more than me, yea, his own life, cannot be my disciple." Now, God has prepared a cure for vain glory. I can give you a cure for vain glory if you want it. I can give you a cure for vain glory. Now, the cure for vain glory is not to suppress the tendency in man to glory. Man's going to glory in something. You can't just come to a fellow and say, "Now just don't glory in anything." He's got pride, and he's going to put it in something. He has honor to give, and he's going to give honor. And he's got affection to show, and he's going to show it. And he's got honor and custom to render, and he's going to tribute to render, and he's going to render it to something. Something in himself or something in someone else. So this is the cure. This is the way to stop vainglory. God doesn't take away our tendency to glory, but he gives us an object worthy of glory. He gives us an object worthy of tribute and worthy of honor. He knows we're going to have something in our lives that's preeminent, something that's first. So he gives us something worthy of that position, worthy of that place. The cure for vainglory is true glory. Now then, what is the true glory? Our Lord says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, rich man in his riches, strong man in his strength. Let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord." The chief end of man is to glorify God. "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You know, when we glory in the Lord, if it can be brought to this place, and how I want it, and how I want it for you. If we can be brought to the place where we glory in the Lord, not in things or people, but where we glory in the Lord, we'll be in full accord with God's universe and with God's kingdom. Did you know that? That's right. The last verse in the book of Psalms says this, the hymn book of the church, the book of Psalms, the last verse says this, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." The heavens declare the glory of God. If I can learn to glorify God, I'll be in tune with the heavens, because the heavens declare the glory of God. Listen, "All thy works, O Lord, shall praise thy name." And Paul wrote, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever." One great old writer said, "Creation is a temple in which everything speaks of the glory of God. Everything exists for the glory of God. Everything is created for the glory of God. And everything will result in the ultimate glory of God." So we learn to glorify God, we'll be in tune with the heavens. And then we'll be in tune with the angels. You know what the song of the angels is? When they came down here to the earth on the Judean hillsides and appeared to those shepherds, how did they open their announcement? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But glory to God. And when we glorify God, we're in tune with the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, "Father," before he went to the cross in that great high priestly prayer, he said, "Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." And then what of the Holy Spirit? Well, when our Lord was going back to glory, after he had rose from the tomb, he said to his disciples, "If I go away, I'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. And he shall take the things of mine and show them to you. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me." That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Christ. And if I can learn to glorify him, I'll be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Man doesn't have the Holy Spirit who doesn't glorify Christ. And then listen to the redeemed in heaven. Listen to those who are around the throne of God. Listen to those who've had their robes washed and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen to them. Salvation Revelation 19, verse 1 and 2, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. Now, my friends, God is great, and God filleth all things, and there's no room for a competitor. There's no room for a competitor, not a church, not a bishop, not a preacher, not a group of people, not a person, not a king, not a general. God is great, and he filleth all things, and there's no room for a competitor. To glory in anyone or anything else is to provoke God's wrath and God's jealousy. For he said, and you might memorize this scripture, my glory I will not give to another. My glory I will not give to another. Now, what we glory in today will be gone tomorrow. But if we can learn to glory in the Lord, he lives forever. The objects of our glory here on this earth all are decaying. Change and decay all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. I need to put my confidence in that which does not change. I need to put my hope, rest my hope in him who does not change. If I'm going to put pride and honor and preeminence in anyone, let it be in him who earns it, who deserves it, and who never changes, and who will never betray me. Yes, when we glorify God, we're in tune with the universe, and we're in tune with the angels, and we're in tune with the Son of God, and we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we're already rehearsing the song we'll sing in heaven. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God, to him be glory both now and forever. That's the song of heaven. Take the book of Ephesians sometime. I don't have time to go into it today, but take the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and read there the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in redemption. And you'll find after it describes in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, after it describes the work of the Father who chose us, who predestinated us, and made us his children, that it says in verse 6, he did it to the praise of his glory. And then it describes the work of the Son, who gave us an inheritance, and who redeemed us, and who enriched us, enlightened us. And it says in verse 12, to the praise of his glory. And then it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, who called us, and who enlightened us in the gospel, and who sealed us. And verse 14 says, he did it to the praise of his glory. And that's why the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit redeemed us to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, here's a legitimate question. Why should I glory in the Lord? You know, when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Pharaoh had a good question. He said, Moses, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And here I am telling you today on this program, don't glory in your wisdom or your righteousness or your strength or your riches or any of these perishing things, but glory in the Lord. And you say, why? Who is the Lord that I should glory in him? Well, let me answer that. First of all, he's God. Scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's worthy of praise and glory because he is God. And all things exist by his power. He rules and reigns over all things. He has the highest office. In him are all offices. The scripture says all power is of God. The power I have tonight to breathe is of God. The power I have to see is of God. The power I have to move that hand is of God. All power is of God. Christ said to Pilate, you could have no power over me at all except it were given you from above. That's why we glory in God. God, because he is God. And then secondly, he's holy. Oh, Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and the cherubims and seraphims all about his throne cried, holy, holy, holy. God is righteous. God is holy. Holy and reverend is his name. I don't particularly like to be called Reverend Mayhem. And here's the reason. because holy and reverent is his name. My name's not reverent, but his name is. We learn to worship him. We learn to worship him in reverence and fear and awe. And we'll cut out some of this three-ring circus things in the house of God and calling it worship. Be still and know that I'm God. And then I'll tell you, he is merciful. The Lord God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy and forgiving iniquity. He's merciful. No man is merciful, but God is. And then he's our Savior, Jehovah Savior. For God so loved the world. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. Nobody ever loved like God loved. God is love. Anybody who loves has to get it from God, secondhand. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Who is the Lord that I should glorify him? He's God. That's why. He's God. And he's holy. He's holy, holy and reverend is his name. He's gracious, gracious to the guilty, merciful to the undeserving. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. And I'll tell you this. If I don't learn to glorify him here, I'm not going to be among those who glorify him there. If I don't learn to sing that song of the redeemed here, I don't know why I should even suspect or hope to sing it there. This is rehearsal time. This is when men begin to walk the ways of God and learn the love of God and partake of the nature of God. Yes, there's a change. Oh, what a change when we leave this earth. But the change has already taken place. The love which you shall enjoy in heaven is the love which you already have in a degree. The nature which you shall have in glory is the nature you already have in regeneration and the new birth. You won't be born again the third time. You're just born the second time by the Spirit of God. All right, watch this now. Let us glory in the Lord. Let us glory increasingly in the Lord. My Lord, I'll praise thee while I live, and I'll praise thee when I die, and I'll praise thee when I rise again, and I'll praise thee in the sky. How do you glory increasingly in the Lord? You want me to tell you what I believe? I believe the more I walk with him, the less I'll be taken up with the vanities of this world. I believe the more I study the attributes and character of my Lord, the more I'll be weaned away from the things of this world that don't measure up to his perfection. I believe this, the more I see of his glory, the less I'll be interested in all of the decaying possessions of this world. You know, somebody said one time, strangers and sojourners do not bury their stakes very deep. In other words, if I realize that any fleshly relationship that I have here outside of Christ is going to shortly be over, I'm not going to cultivate that relationship quite as strongly as I will that eternal relationship which shall never be broken. Those possessions, those little soap bubble and sand castles that we're playing with, called houses and lands and lots and estates and cars and boats and membership in clubs and all these things, when we realize these are nothing in the world but fleshly, decaying, rotting toys that one of these days will be as meaningless to us as our old broken drum is that we played with, or our little old bugle we tooted when we was 5 years old, when we realize these things are utterly decaying objects, meaningless objects, we'll quit playing with them and we'll begin to set our affections on things above. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. You got a whole drawer full of precious diamonds and jewelry and money there in your home. You're scared to death somebody's going to break in and steal it. Get rid of it. Give it to somebody who needs it. You lay up treasures in heaven. You don't have to worry about folks stealing that. You don't have to worry about folks stealing your relationship with God and stealing your interest in the kingdom of God and stealing your seat in glory. It's as sure as the throne of God. Nobody's going to break in and steal God's throne, nor mine either. That's right. That's right. These things are play purties. And a lot of folks are still playing with them, taking up with them. And they're going to be buried without any pockets in their suit. They can't take anything with them. Everything's going to be left right here to be fought over by somebody else or to decay and go back to the dust. And as paupers, we're going to stand before God. Our debt's too heavy to pay. How can I glory in the Lord? That's a question with which I want to close. Well, first of all, I can own him publicly as my Lord and Savior, which I intend to do. Whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever is ashamed of me, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory. I can stand up where his word and where his person is opposed and ridiculed. I can be identified with his people and with his church. I can believe his word. I can trust him in time of trouble and say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Trust him. Learn to glory in the Lord. Now, if you want this message on tape, you write to me. The address will be given to you. Last week's message and today's message will be on the same tape. Charges $3. You write to me if you want to receive it. Until next week at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.